God, and that you're open to what the Holy Spirit has to say to you, not because you like me or because you like the bikes and or the casual atmosphere or the fact that you can come in jeans and shorts and pluckies and whatever. I nearly said costumes, but that might be a little bit of a stumbling block to people. But I really just hope and pray that you come because you want to hear from God this morning. And honestly, I'll be the first person to admit, I could not slim or for niemand to say any. Nothing I can say can really, really change a person. But one word from God can change your heart and change your life. And I pray that you, every time you come to church, that you open yourself up to what the Spirit of God has to say to us this morning. And I'm challenged by every time the messages that God lays on my heart, because, you know, I got to, like all of us, have to practice what I preach. It's so easy to stand up here and preach like the angel Gabriel or whatever, but to go and live it when you leave these doors and be real. Be a real man and woman of God behind closed doors at home when nobody's watching, when you're on your own, and be a man and woman of God inside your heart, yeah, and in your mind. That's where the real challenge lies. Can you say amen? Amen. So may He, by His Spirit, enable us to live like that. We're continuing with our theme that we've been busy with for a couple of weeks. We've taken a break from that once or twice for the vision sermon on making disciples. So I'm going to ask our sound guys to put our theme scripture up there from Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 to 20, and we're going to read that together just to reaffirm where we're going and get it deep, deep, deep down into our spirits and remember and realize the great commandment that Jesus has given us. And I don't know about you, but I'm still challenged by last week's message, the great commandment and the great commission, isn't it? Those two things. Was anybody challenged? Okay, good. Just those two, if we can just start there. Great commandment, love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love our neighbor as ourselves, and then the Great Commission to go out and do that. So, keeping in line with our theme, fulfilling the Great Commission, the Scripture says, we're going to read this all together, Matthew chapter 28, from verse 18 to 20, from the New King James. So, if you're ready, please read with me. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." We thank you this morning, Lord God, for the privilege of being able to read your word freely, like this, Lord God, in a place like this, circumstances like this. Thank you, Lord God, that we can be mindful of the countless multitudes that have given up their lives so that we could have your word today. And you are watching over your word to perform it. And we pray that every word that comes from your mouth, we know, will achieve the purposes for which you send it forth in the name of Jesus Christ. And I pray, Lord God, that you move beyond the limitations of my human speech today and you give us as your sons and daughters exactly what we need to hear. Our daily bread for today, in the name of Jesus Christ. And the people of the Most High God said, amen. I'm so excited that scripture doesn't say, "Wait, and they will come to you." He said, "Go and make disciples." That excites me. You know why? Because God has given us go machines. We've got go machines. Hallelujah. Some of you are excited about that. Just in general, how many of you ride your own motorcycles? Can I see a show of hands, please? Okay, put down. How many of you don't own a motorcycle? Okay, you can put down your hands. So it almost seems that it's the majority of the people here ride motorcycles. The general trend in the bikers' churches across the country is that the majority of the folks that attend bikers' church, the bikers' churches, don't own motorcycles. And that's cool. They obviously like what happens there, isn't it? Amen. They vote with their feet. So we bless God for that. But God has given us go machines to go into the world and make disciples. Hallelujah. How many of you can see me this morning? Put up your hands if you can. Put your hands down. Sunshine, I need to get a different camo shirt. This one doesn't work. Okay. I'm excited about this. So this morning, what we're going to look at is, if we're commissioned to go into the world and make disciples, to give people the gospel, I believe what we need to look at this morning, or God led my heart to discuss, to have a look at what is it that we're actually presenting to the people. Because we can present to them an organization that consists of rules and regulations. That's what we can present to them. We can present the dynamic of a person who has such an outgoing personality that people just like to be around him or her. How many of you have guessed that I'm not talking about myself? We can present to them all sorts of things. What is it that we are presenting to the people when we share our faith? If we were to go into the world and make disciples, and we say that Jesus is teaching them everything that I taught you, and I will be with you to the end of the age, what is it that we're actually presenting to people? So this morning, by God's grace, we're going to look at what is it that we actually are supposed to be presenting to people. The last time we looked at making disciples, we just to recap, we spoke about the Roman road, and the Roman road is a short, very simple gospel presentation tool that you can present with somebody. How many of you remember the one scripture that you needed to remember? I'll give you a clue. Tarzan. 3:3. It's Romans chapter 3 and verse. There you go. Very good. These people are listening. Hallelujah, Lord. We are making disciples. The Roman road. And we also looked at the acronym called SALT. How many of you remember what SALT stands for? Not assault. SALT stands for? Give yourself a round of applause. That's absolutely awesome. Okay, that's what we looked at a couple of weeks ago. And this week, as I said, we're going to look at what is it that we are to present to the people. We'll be doing an injustice to people if we said this. And I submit to you that there are probably people in this church building that heard something similar. We'll be doing an injustice to people if we say to them, all you have to do is give your life to Jesus and your problems will go away. How many of you have heard that in the gospel? How many of you? Let's be honest. Can I tell you something? People didn't actually tell that to me, but I thought it was going to be like that. I thought, this is it, Mozzie. My life changed so radically, so differently, so positively for the good when I gave my life to Jesus that I thought, this is it. This is what it's all about. Till the first time, the little bit of faith that I appropriated was submitted to the thing called life and was submitted to fire and to be refined in the fire so its worth could be proved. When the little bit of God's promises that I started making my own and started claiming my own were tested by the enemy and tried by the enemy, when my faith was tested, then suddenly it wasn't just give your life to Jesus and then all your problems will go away. So I want to tell you, if you're a minister of the gospel, if you consider yourself a Christian and you go around telling people, gee net jou hart vir die Here, dan gaan al jou probleme weggaan en opgelos word. You're doing an injustice to people because you're not preparing them for the crux of what it means to carry your cross on a daily basis. Can you say amen? We'll be doing an injustice. Because living a life of following Jesus, living a life of following Jesus, and as we said last week, living for Jesus involves something a lot more serious, and it involves death. That's it, Steve. It involves death. Your death and mine. En nie net wanneer nie, op 'n daaglikse basis. So the gospel of Jesus Christ, what we ought to present to people, includes, yes, it includes that you're going to have a breakthrough and an answer to prayer and deliverance and a solution to problems and things made possible that we before were impossible. It includes all of that, but it most certainly includes death. Because Jesus says that if we are to be partakers of His resurrection power, we are also to be partakers of His death. Now, what does that mean? That we have to go and be crucified for the sins of others? Thank God, no. But there's a crucifixion that needs to take place daily in our lives, and it involves ourselves as the crucifiers and ourselves as the crucified. And that's the challenge. So the gist of it, this, folks, is this. If you commit to living a life, living for Jesus, it involves a death, namely dying to self. In Mark chapter 8 and verse 35, Jesus says, whoever desires to save his life will lose it. Isn't that what the essence is of why we come to Christ anyway? How many of you look forward to spending an eternity in hell? Who in their right mind? People jokingly say, yes, when I get to hell, I'm going to do this. When you get to hell, you can't even keep your hand over the flame of a lighter, man. You can't do that. As die sonnetjie te warm is as jou vakansie is, dan moet jy sunblock opsit, SPF 50, or whatever. And you say, when I get to hell, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. You can't do that. How many of us look forward to a life in hell? No, we don't. We want to go to heaven, isn't it? We want, so in other words, the downfall of human nature is its I don't know if the English word I'm looking for is propensity, but it's focus on self-preservation. Human nature, self-preservation. Adopting the nature of Christ is dying to self so the life of Christ can become manifest in you. Jesus says whoever desires who wants to keep his life will lose it. But the good news is, he goes on to say that whoever is willing to lose his life for my sake will gain it and so much more. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. And this is becoming such a revelation to me. I got so excited meditating on the scripture again in the week. Whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's. There's two aspects, folks, that Jesus is speaking about. He's speaking about losing your life for the gospel's sake and losing your life for him as a person. Christianity, then, Jesus suggests, is twofold. It involves dying and giving things up for the sake of his message and him. In other words, we are to proclaim the message of Jesus and to emulate his lifestyle. Because I can proclaim the message of Jesus and not live like him at all. Think about it. I can proclaim the message of Jesus and not live like him at all. That's why he says, whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's. That means the message that we must preach must be the gospel. And there's only one kind of gospel that is true. There's false gospels, but there's the gospel of grace. If the gospel that you teach is not the gospel of grace, it's not Jesus' gospel. It's a gospel of grace. It's not Jesus' gospel. If it's any other gospel that places you under constant condemnation and bondage and suppression and takes away freedom and restricts you of all sorts of things, that's not the gospel of Jesus. The gospel of Jesus is a gospel of grace. The gospel of grace at the very least means that there's hope. There's hope for all. And Jesus says, if you're not prepared to lose your life for my sake and the gospel's. And here's the crux. Living for him means also that we said last week, means living like Jesus. Living like Jesus. And discipleship involves that. Preaching his message and emulating his life. So the message that I then take to people must not only be the gospel. Jesus is saying it must not only be this message that God loves you so much that he sent his son to die for your sins. But the message that we take must also be my lifestyle. Daarom beteken dit die volgende. Wat help dit wielkal as ek hierdie dra, maar ek leef dit nie uit nie? What does it help if I have to wear a badge that says I'm a Christian before enige iemand dit kan raak sien in die eerste plek? If I have to wear a badge that says Hemel Bestormer before somebody realizes that I'm a Christian, then there's something wrong in my lifestyle and in my walk, ladies and gentlemen. People must be able to hear it by what I say and see it by the way I live and sense it in my presence and what I live for and my value system that I'm a man or a woman of God. If you're a woman, of course. I can only be a man of God. I can't be a woman of God. Hallelujah. So that's why Jesus says, if you're not prepared to lose your life for my sake and the gospel's, in other words, that which we're exporting to people, it mustn't be something that we do. It must be who we are. Isn't it, Pete? It must be who we are. That's why we are Christian Motorcyclists Association. I'm a Christian before I'm a motorcyclist, man. If all that comes out of my mouth all the time when I get together with my martyrs is rugby, motorbikes, braaiing, guns or whatever, and here and there a little bit of Jesus, ding, dan waarmee hou ek my besig op 'n daaglikse basis dan? What's taking up the majority of my time? And check it out. It happens in this church too, and I'm just as guilty when we get together. Man, we talk for hours and hours about whatever. I examined myself this week and I thought, how easy it is for me to watch a 2-hour movie, no problem, and I stick to it. But to study the Word of God for 2 hours? I submit to you, it's not a question of time, but it's a question of appetite. Maybe it's because my appetite for the things of the world is a lot bigger and a lot stronger than it is for the things of God. Ouch. 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 So this thing of Jesus where he says, if you're not willing to lose your life for my sake and the gospel's, it's twofold, ladies and gentlemen. And we're going to look at that in a little bit. This means that we are to preach his message and emulate his life. And what is the life? I looked at the life of Jesus. The life of Jesus. The central theme of the life of Jesus. It's so easy, Mozzie, say, yeah, emulate the life of Jesus. Live like Jesus. As lekker makker kom te preek, nee. What is the central theme of the life of Jesus? The central theme of the life of Jesus is radical, radical love and radical, radical sacrifice. So when we share the gospel of Jesus with people, do we tell people, if you choose, before you put your hands to this plow, before you decide to say, yes, Lord, here I am, use me, I give my life to you. When we ministered at the Bikers Church in Namibia, in Windhoek, a couple of weeks ago, there was a guy who gave his life to the Lord that morning and come out of prison, etc., etc. And during the message, he was sitting in front because obviously all excited and stuff like that. And I said to him, sir, I just feel God has laid on my heart to say this to you. It's so great that you've given your heart to the Lord. Raise your hands this morning. How many of you have given your heart to Jesus? Put your hands down. Don't put up your hands now. How many of you have given the rest of your lives to Him also? You see, He doesn't just want our heart. He wants the rest of our lives. He wants the rest of our lives. He wants the rest of our lives. And that is the central overall theme in the life of Jesus. Radical, radical, radical love. When the people that are stoning you and the people that are shouting, crucify Him, crucify Him, crucify Him. The people that have spat on you, whipped you, ripped your beard out, beat you up so much, the scripture says, couldn't recognize it was Him. Marred beyond recognition, it says. Then when you're hanging there on the cross, you say, forgive them, Father. I'm not over that. I'm not over that. Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. How do you do that? How do you love people like that? Radical love and radical sacrifice. So the message that we take to people, if we want that to come to pass, has to include that. That if you choose to follow Jesus, it's going to involve radical sacrifice. It's going to involve sacrifice. We said this before. If something is to come into your life, something has to go out of your life, people. If something is to come into your life, something has to go out of your life. For you to receive the things of God and the promises of the Father, you're going to have to give up some things. There's going to have to be a change in your life. You're going to have to change. And if you're not willing to change, then you're not willing to endure with Jesus till the end. Then I'm just playing church. I'm just busy about doing a religious act. And when the pressure really, really is on, and when it comes to really, really me giving up my life, for the sake of Christ, I'm going to bail out and I'm just going to be another statistic. And I'm going to be somebody that once served Jesus. You know how many people I walk into on the day jobs and the rallies and whatever, where they were so involved in the church and something happened. They face the test that everybody will need to face when you're in the family of God. Human disappointment. Where somebody lets you down. The dominee, sy vrou, die leierskap in die kerk, die jeugleier of wie ook al, gaan jou teleurstel. Somebody, they face that. Man, Jesus' disciples even faced that with Him. God Himself, the greatest teacher, the greatest leader, the most anointed preacher ever, even amongst His circle of fellowship, there was disappointment and heartache. And that's what we're going to have to face. And somewhere along the line, if I'm not willing to make those sacrifices, ladies and gentlemen, then I'm not going to endure till the end. And Jesus says this. Jesus gives us an insight into the kind of suffering. Just stick around, see? I know I'm going on the suffering road, but there's good news in this. Can you say amen? There's good news in this because we cannot compare the sufferings that we're going through now to the glory that we'll receive and be partakers of if we do not lose heart. Jesus gives us an insight into this kind of suffering in Mark 10, verse 29 to 30. He says this, assuredly, I say to you. Do you know what assuredly means? It means serious. It means serious. It means for real, assuredly, I say to you, Jesus says, hallelujah. Must make use of this more often, it's so cool. Assuredly, I say to you, there is no one who has left their sacrifice, house, or brothers, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my sake and the gospel's, there it is again, who shall not receive a hundredfold now in this time. That's good news because it's for the here and now. Houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, with persecutions. Just want to like, can't we just edit that out there, that section with persecutions, guys? Can we just delete that? Can we like fix it to there's parts of my Bible here that I don't like, so I'm just going to pass that about love your neighbor, tear that part out about forgiving, tear that part out about endurance, and drie blaaie in die middel wees in it, cover front and back, if I tear out all the parts of the Bible that I don't like and I don't want to live up to. But that's what's included in what he says, with persecutions. And in the, ooh, look at the state of this church. It's pathetic. It's fire. And he says, in the age to come, with persecutions, he says. And in the age to come, and then there's the punchline, eternal life. So he gives us an insight. What is Jesus saying? All these things that are important to us, if you're not willing to give them up, if any of them are more important than your relationship with Jesus, he has an issue with that. There's a passage in the scripture which says that unless you hate your mother and your father and whatever, then you cannot be my disciple. What is Jesus saying? That you've got to hate your loved ones? No. But if your love for anyone or anything is in any way second place to your love for Jesus, he's got an issue with that. And that's what it means. And that's the message we need to share with people. It's not just come to... Just give your heart to Jesus, start going to church for a while, and just do the necessary, and gee 'n bietjie geldjies hier en daar, en wanneer jy lus het, en jy weet die omstandighede is reg, en jy voel okay daarmee, kan jy net bietjie met mense deel, en jou geloof deel, en no. Radical, radical love. Radical, radical sacrifice. That's the message we're supposed to be taking to people. And if we're not taking that message, I don't believe it's the gospel of Jesus, because his gospel was very, very different, his lifestyle very, very different. That's why he says, if you're not willing to lose your life for the gospel's sake and mine, his message and emulating his life. Luke 9 and 23, it says, he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me. Okay, so let's just get really, really practical in this church this morning. Is that okay, family? Let's just try that with everybody. Is it okay if we get practical this morning, family? Okay. If anybody desires to come after me, if you desire to come after Jesus, raise your hands. Okay. Put your hands down. I didn't see who didn't raise their hands, but that's fine. He says, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Only Dr. Luke includes the word daily. Luke was a doctor. If anyone desires to come after me, let him take up his cross daily. Daily. So if it means daily, it means this, that daily I've got a choice. Daily I can choose not to, or I can choose. And I take up a cross and deny myself. If you desire to follow Jesus, there are no other hidden clauses. That's the requirement. If you desire to come after me, take up your cross daily and come after me, denying yourself. John 16:33, Jesus says, these things I've spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. I don't know about you, but if I listen to it with the wrong kind of ears, I won't have peace about this, because it means there's going to be sacrifice. It means that I'm going to have to change. It means, Mozzie, if you're going to follow Jesus, you are going to have to change. Let's just call it what it is, shall we? There's modern living arrangements known as shacked up. You know what the Bible calls it? Sin. Yeah, but Mozzie, you don't understand. Finances don't allow us to, and I don't care what finances do allow or don't allow. God will make a way if you trust Him. Not many people, that's not kind of preaching that people get excited about. But let's just call it what the Bible calls it, shall we? It is called sin. Okay? So, Christians call it, my broer, ek wil net gou iets met jou deel aangaande div. Christians call it sharing. You know what the Bible calls it? Gossip. And it is sin because it brings division in the body. Also, nobody's excited about that. It's called gossip. It's called gossip. Lending your ears out to gossip. Those kind of things. So I feel like a hatred in my heart towards somebody. I think, yeah, but the circumstances, you know, they've done something so bad and so wrong. This hatred is justified. You know what Jesus calls that? Murder in your heart. It is sin. Sin. What about bitterness and unforgiveness? Sin. Let's just call it what it is. The world today, modern human secular humanism, has all sorts of other words that sort of water it down. The scripture calls it sin. Now, praise God, He's dealt with it. Can you say amen? He's paid the price that we can be set free from that stuff. And Jesus encourages us with these words in John 16:33. He says, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace." In me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. I don't know about you, but I'm really being open and honest and real with you this morning. If I knew half of what being a Christian would entail when I surrendered my life to Jesus, I probably would have had serious, serious second thoughts. I probably would have backslid much sooner than when I did. Because I backslid several times after I surrendered my life to Jesus. Well, I was worse off than before I started following Jesus. Why? Because I was educated beyond my level of discipline and obedience. Ken a paar tekst verse, memorize a scripture verse or two, and I think I'm the spiritual bee's knees. Until it comes to start crucifying this flesh. A different story altogether. And he says, in this world, and he said, why does Jesus do it like this? I want to encourage you that in me you may have peace. And then he goes on to say, you'll have tribulation. I don't know about you, but I wouldn't teach people about peace in that way. If I say peace, I'm going to tell you, it's going to get easier, it's going to be better, the rand is going to be strong, salaries are going to increase, we're going to be able to handle the taxes, the services, public services are going to be back to normal, there's never going to be load shedding anymore, roads are going to be fine, the litter's always going to be collected, and everybody's going to... That's how I would encourage you with peace. Jesus says, no, in me you will have peace. And in me you will have peace. Guess what? Tribulation will come. Huh? We've heard the done. But you see, that's how the kingdom of God works. It's an upside down, inside out, die to self first before you can live kind of kingdom and kind of message that Jesus teaches. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. That's his message. I have overcome the world. And in him, living for him, emulating his life, we can also overcome the world. I said we can also overcome the world and everything that is in it. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 3. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. What's our kinderlikkie? Soldaikie for Jesus. What's that one? Huh? Baie van julle ken die liedjie, Soldaat vir Jesus. Ja, it's so lekker when you sing die liedjie as a kind, as a soldaatjie, nee. Ek is nie een stap soldaatjie nie, ek is een skiet soldaatjie of een klap soldaatjie. Ek klap hulle met die evangelie, ek draai die soldaatjie wat klappe uit is. Okay. Now, you must therefore endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus. So, if I cannot endure hardship, I'm not a good soldier of Jesus. I fall short. If I cannot endure hardship. You know, if bodybuilding was easy, everybody would do it. Okay, some people still wouldn't. They'd still lay on their couches eating chips in front of the TV for hours and hours. They still wouldn't do it. But if bodybuilding was easy, everybody would do it. If being the best athlete at something was easy, everybody would be the best. Sometimes I've looked at the riders in the world and I said, Lord, if I could just wake up one morning and have Ricky Carmichael's skills, Christian Pfeiffer, Valentino Rossi, Tony Bow, and that includes all the riding disciplines. It's motocross, it's trials riding, it's MotoGP, it's off-road, it's everything. I'd just wake up one morning having those skills. Yes, I'd be a legend on a bike, ek sê. Maar gaan check bikkie die manne se X-ray lairs. Now check their X-ray files, but they got more metal in them than I have hanging in my tool rack in the garage. unobtainium hier en 'n joint hier en 'n connection hier en 'n regmaak waar they paid the price. They've paid the price. And to be a good soldier of Jesus, it's going to cost us something. It's going to cost us something. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad you came to church this morning? Yo, Lord Jesus, help us to live this out. You must endure hardship. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 12. Yes, and all you who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. We're not to present the gospel as a life improvement program to people. We're not to present the gospel as a life improvement program to people. Here, all you need to do is to take the heartache and the pain and suffering of life, just add a little bit of Jesus to it when it suits you, you know, just like an emergency 24-hour chemist, net wanneer dit jou pas. Die Here verstaan, jy's besig en daar's soveel day jobs en die VPC calendar is lekker. Hy verstaan, jy moet by al daai goed elke naweek kom. Naweek in en naweek. Hy verstaan, jy moet daar wees. And there's lots and lots of miles, Lord. En die wiele is rond en die tank is vol. Maar ry moet ons. Hy verstaan. You just somewhere fit the gospel and Jesus and his things into your schedule. Net so klein bietjie. Just om jou gewete te sus. Ja, klink lekker op hierdie Engelse lippe van my. Om jou gewete te sus. That's the gospel mustn't be a life improvement program. If what you're telling them is, hey, this is just going to improve my life. No, you've got to understand from the beginning, you must be willing to lay down your life before his life can start to be lived out through you. For how many of you this morning, and don't raise your hands, is it changing the perspective of what the gospel of Jesus is about? You see, I think that's one of the reasons why the modern church of Jesus Christ today in this world in 2018 is so radically different from the church in the book of Acts. Because for us today, it's a life improvement program. What can I get out of it? Let's be honest. Most of our time, our obedience is based on that. I've said this, and I challenge myself for this, and the Lord challenged me. If you know that God is never, ever, ever again going to answer any single prayer that you ever pray to Him again, will you still live for Jesus? Think me pick it out word. If God is never ever going to answer another prayer again, will you still live for Jesus? Will you still call yourself a Christian? Or will you take some other system of faith and some other belief system on? That's the challenge that we face, folks. So we're not to present the gospel as a life improvement program to add to or to supplement our lives and see if it can fit into our busy schedules. The whole truth is that following Jesus, I love these words, sure. The whole truth is that following Jesus involves the biggest sacrifice for the biggest gain. The whole truth is that following Jesus involves the biggest sacrifice for the biggest gain. We stand to gain so much more than we think we could ever lose by following Jesus. We're also not to present the gospel as yet another religious system of rules. You see, if the gospel is, you must do this, you must do that, yeah, there are things that you must do if you want certain consequences. Because Paul teaches in Corinthians that all things are lawful for me. People have often spoken to us in this ministry that we do and say, oh yeah, you're a Christian, so you're not allowed to smoke and drink, isn't it? No, we can. We're allowed to. Paul says in the Bible, all things are lawful for me. And it's not any rook and drink what maklik gesien word. All the other things. You want to sleep around. You want to hate, come on, do it. He says, all things are lawful for me. Because in terms of the new covenant of grace, all things are lawful. But he goes on to say, not all things are beneficial. So actually, the freedom that you have as a Christian, jy kan maak soos wat jy smaak. Mits jy is bereid om saam met die gevolge daarvan te leef. Andersins. So it's not so you don't smoke or drink because you're not allowed to. No, we're allowed to, but I choose not to. For the sake of the ones I'm called to preach and share Jesus with, I choose not to because it's not conducive to a lifestyle of a man or woman that says, I'm following Jesus and I'm living like Jesus. Did you see Jesus cup or whatever? No, you didn't. You didn't. Did you see him shacked up with you? No, you didn't. And like I say, please, I'm not knocking, smoking, or drinking. There's stuff that's hidden that's way worse than that, man. Way worse than that. So you didn't see Jesus doing that. I'm doing by the grace of God to the best of my ability. And when it's not good enough, His Spirit will sustain me and lift me up to live like Jesus lived. That's a Christian. I remember I had the privilege. He's gone and graduated to be with heaven, to be with Jesus in heaven now. I led an uncle of mine to the Lord, and he asked me, Mozzie, what's the definition of a Christian? And but at the time in my life when he asked me, I had to think about it, you know. Then like, what is it? And the chapter president that time, he said to me, Mozzie, a Christian is somebody who lives like Jesus. That's it. So if you're not living like Jesus, I think the world will look at you in a little bit of different eyes. So we're not to present the gospel as yet another system of rules, because this is what it will do. It will produce people who acknowledge Jesus with their mouths, but their hearts are far from Him. Their hearts are far from Him. Isaiah 29 and verse 13, it says, therefore the Lord said, inasmuch as these people draw near me with their mouths and honor me with their lips, but they've removed their hearts far from me. And their fear toward me is taught by the commandment of men. In other words, we'll give people a system of rules and regulations. You've got to dress like this when you come to church. You've got to say this. You've got to worship on this day or else you don't get to heaven. You've got to, really? Daai goed bestaan nêrens hierso tussen Genesis and it's not even in maps. Dit staan nie daarso nie. It doesn't exist, it's not there. We are saved by grace through faith. And this not of ourselves, it's a gift of God, lest nobody should boast. We're saved by grace through faith. And not of works, so that nobody can boast. We can't give them a system of rules and regulations when we present the gospel to them. It's got to be the gospel of grace that involves radical love and radical sacrifice. I hope, church, that it's getting easier and easier for us to understand the message that we're supposed to be carrying out to the dying world. I'm almost done. This part of the gospel will not be acceptable to some people. This kind of message is not acceptable to some people. The majority of the world doesn't want to hear this. Why? Because this is how it's described in the Bible. I'll give you the scripture reference afterwards. Preach the word of God. Be prepared. Whether the time is favorable or not, patiently correct, rebuke, and encourage your people with good teaching. For a time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching. They will follow their own desires and will look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear. What time is it? It's that time. It's that time. That's the time. This is the time, it says. The time is coming, and that's the time now. Angus Buchan calls it prayer. It's time. Yes, it's time, because this is the time. People will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching. They will follow their own desires and look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear. 2 Timothy 4, verse 2 to 3, out of the NLT, the New Living Translation, second edition. They'll look for teachers who will tell them whatever their ears want to hear. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the times that we are living in. The scripture says in Proverbs 24 and verse 10, it says, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. I want to say to you, the day of adversity may include the time when you have to crucify the flesh in carrying your cross and you choose not to. If your strength fails in the day of adversity, your strength is small. The day of adversity may include the time when we have to crucify the flesh and deny ourselves. The true test of discipleship is not how we start, but how we finish. If you want to read a book that will seriously challenge you, I forget the author's name, but it's called Finishing Strong. Look how many people in the Bible started strong, and look how they finished. The true test of discipleship is not how you start, but how you finish. How many people do you know that were in regular fellowship? Elke Sondag was hulle hier. They wanted to grow in the Lord. They attended home cell or whatever. They were faithful witnesses. And vandag waar is hulle? Nee, jy sien hulle by elke ander event, behalwe die dinge van die Here. They start off strong. The true test of discipleship is not how we start, but how we finish. And I'll say this again in closing. The central theme in the life of Jesus is one of radical, radical love and radical, radical sacrifice. So in a nutshell, to recap, ladies and gentlemen, the gospel that we are supposed to take out to the dying world is that gospel. One of radical, radical love and radical, radical sacrifice. Would you stand with us as we get ready to worship the Lord together? I want to pray for us this morning as we stand together. This is the most important time of the service. I want you believers to continue just pray and intercede and stand in the gap, please, as we pray together this morning. If you've come to church this morning and you heard this message and you're really challenged and you think to yourself, Mozzie, I know Jesus and I've said a few things, and but I'm not really living for Jesus. And you want to make a commitment this morning to live for Jesus, then I'd love to pray for you. I'm not interested in taking up church membership or nuwe lidmate te kweek en te werf vir hierdie gemeente. Dit gaan nie daaroor nie. It's about you and your relationship with Jesus. If you're at a place in your life where you know that you know about Jesus, but you want to live for Jesus, a life of self-sacrifice, then if that's you this morning, raise your hands. Anybody like that? I want to put my hands up this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you. Maybe you're already living for Jesus. Maybe you aren't. Maybe there's a time where you were more excited for God. Maybe you're at a place where you're backslidden in your life. What does it mean to be backslidden? I'm going to simplify it for you. If there ever was a time in your life where you were more excited and on fire for God than you are right now, you're backslidden. But the good news is the Bible says that Jesus, God is married to the backslider. Dat jy nie vergeet nie. You're not written off or forsaken. God hasn't stopped loving you, hasn't stopped caring for you. Jesus hasn't stopped praying for you. If you're in a backslidden state, that means there was a time in your life where you were more on fire for God. Then I want to pray for you this morning as well. And then I want to pray for those, maybe you're here this morning and you've never said a sinner's prayer where you say, God, I know I'm a sinner. And I'm asking you to forgive me. And Jesus, you're the Savior of the world because you died. But I want you to be Lord of my life. I want you to take control over all that I am and all that I have. My past is forgiven. My future I surrender to you. From today, I want to live for you. Maybe you've never prayed that prayer before. Maybe you've never prayed that prayer before. And you're here this morning and the Spirit of God is talking to you. And you feel a weird feeling inside and maybe a little bit of adrenaline pumping or whatever. And you know that the Spirit of God is speaking to you. I want to submit to you, my brother, my sister, that's not just emotions. That's the Spirit of God speaking to you. And if the Spirit of God is speaking to you this morning and you want to surrender your life and your heart to Jesus, you want to start living for Jesus. For the first time, you're going to pray like this from today for the rest of your life. If there's anybody like that, raise your hands. Anybody? Anybody? There's hands going up. Thank you. Bless you. Several hands going up. Yes, bless you. If you've never, ever, ever prayed a prayer like that, I want to pray with you this morning. So the first category, I want to pray for all of us who we raised our hands and we said, yes, we want to live for Jesus. I want to pray with us this morning. God, you know the motives of our heart and what really, Lord, it's a sobering thought and sometimes it's a little bit like, if I can say, frightening. Lord, you know who's going to endure till the end, Lord. You know who's going to put their hands to the plow and look back, and you know who those who are going to willing to lay down their lives forever and live for you till kingdom come or the heart stops. You know us, Lord God, so no matter how sincere or insincere these prayers are of ours this morning, Lord, you know us. But in this morning, Lord God, we ask that by your Spirit you help each one of us that have raised our hands. We said, Lord, we want to live for you and we want to live like Jesus. We ask, Holy Spirit, that you enable us to do just that. One day at a time, one decision at a time, one little choice at a time where we choose to die to ourselves little bit by little bit by little bit, that we grow and become stronger and wiser and mature, that we can live for you. And I thank you for that, Lord, in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. Then I want to pray for those where you feel you're backslidden. You feel there was a time in your life where you were more excited for God than you are right now. And you want that fire rekindled again and that excitement to return, and you want to live for Jesus again. I pray for you this morning. I pray, Lord God, for every backslidden son or daughter of God this morning. Lord, they're your children. They're not forsaken. They're not outcast. They're not rejected. And you're not disappointed in them, Lord. Their backslidden state didn't catch you by surprise. You love them unconditionally. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you stir in their hearts to live for you again. In the name of Jesus Christ. And last but by no means least, I want to pray for those. If for the first time you're praying like this, you're saying, Lord, I know I'm a sinner, but I want to live for you. Lord, I've heard people speaking about being born again, and I want to, that's what it means when the Bible speaks about that. It teaches that the Spirit of God will make your spirit new again, and Jesus will come and live inside you. And if that's you, and you raised your hand, and you're going to be praying like that for the first time this morning, I'm going to ask you to do something very, very bold and very, very brave. I started off preaching this morning, and somewhere in the message I said it's going to involve radical, radical love and radical sacrifice. You're going to have to give up something. Give up that place where you're sitting. Give up that spot where you're standing in the church and come forward. If you've raised your hand to say, I want to receive Jesus for the first time in my life and make him Lord of my life. If that's you, come up straight away. Give up your place and come to the front. We'd love to pray for you. Just going to give you a few moments to do that. There's several hands went up. As folks that prayed like that, please come forward to the front straight away. So just continue to pray and intercede. Please, folks, continue to pray. Thank you, Jesus. That's you. Would you come up? Several folks are doing that. Bless you. Bless you. Thank you for that, Lord Jesus. I like counselors behind these people. Please, ladies with ladies, gents with gents. Straight away, please. We're going to take some time after the service. It's actually part of the service to take 15 minutes to pray for the country. We're going to give you a little bit of information about that afterwards. So, but for these folks that have come forward, I need another two ladies here, please. Ladies. I need another. There we go. One more lady. Right, every person's. Thank you. Bless you guys. Thank you for your faithfulness and being willing to serve like us. For these folks that have come forward, I just want you to forget about the people around you. Forget about the person behind you. Forget about whether you think people are watching you or wie dink wat, dat niks met niemand anders te doen nie behalwe jouself en jou verhouding met God, dis al. Dis tussen jouself en die Here. And to pray this prayer in your heart. Say, Father God, I come to you this morning in the name of Jesus. Lord, I acknowledge that I am a sinner. I accept responsibility for my sins. And Jesus, you died and paid the price for my sins so that I can ask forgiveness. And this morning I ask you, Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Father God, have mercy upon me. Cleanse me of my sins. Wash me clean of my sins. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for me. I believe that you're God's Son. I believe that you died and that you rose again from the grave to prepare a place for me in my Father's house. And I ask you, Lord, to come into my life. Take control of my life from this moment, from this time. Jesus, you are my Savior, but I want to let you be Lord of my life. And I ask, Holy Spirit, that you come into my life, that you fill me, empower me, and enable me to stick to this promise all the days of my life. And Lord, I pray to you now from my heart. I say, Lord, I will do my best to stick to this commitment. I will come to church as often as I can. I will read your word as often as I can. I will do everything I can to grow and mature and become a strong Christian all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. For the people that came forward, I ask you just take a few minutes, please, just to go with your counselors. The counselors are going to take you across the road to pray with you. We're not going to take your details to get membership. We're just going to pray with you and make sure that you understand what has happened. If you do not have anything like it, we're going to give you a little bit of literature, a claim bookie that's called Ken and Erfar God, Knowing and Experiencing God. We're going to give you those bookies. I ask you to please take a few minutes to go across the road with your counselors. Let's give the Lord a praise offering for these folks this morning. Bless you. Okay. We're going to do one more song together with the congregation as a whole, and then We're going to take some time as a congregation, 15 minutes, to pray for the country. You're more than welcome to go if you want to. But I want to encourage you to stay behind, and I'm going to select one or two individuals here and there to just lead us in a corporate prayer. The rest of the time, we're going to take 15 minutes extra of your time this morning just to sit down here in this place and pray for the country together as a church. Is that okay for you folks this morning? I'm going to nominate one or two people just to corporately pray for us, but the rest of us, just take some time extra just to stay behind and just to pray for South Africa specifically. As a country and as a church, we're going to stand in the gap for this nation. So without further ado, I'm going to ask the deep end to lead us in one more song. May Almighty God bless you and keep you. May He make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God lift up His countenance over you and give you peace. Thank you for visiting with us this morning. God bless you. Just a reminder to the folks, if you have any form of leadership responsibility with the Embarkers Church or CMA,